Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Podtackler and Guardian Radio Dualcast. Tonight we are going to be talking about some news regarding a certain someone close and near and dear to our hearts here for Halo fans and Destiny fans alike. The recent parting of Marty O'Donnell from Bungie Studios, which is kind of unfortunate given the timing and the circumstance, but there's going to be some good stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to really pull out some of the details behind what's happened and really focus on some of the stuff that could be as a result of this, and mostly good things, I think, will come from this. But I have some friends with me tonight to kind of go through some of the details. First off is our co-host Brent Gamer from Podtackler.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, Mr. Brent. And we have from Guardians Radio, we have Mark Turcott.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. Welcome back to Podtackler.
Yeah, man. Second appearance, man. I'm glad to be here. You know, last time we were on, we had a blast with you guys. I know Derek was here with me, too, that time. So glad to be back, man. Especially, well, I say I'm glad to be back, but I'm not glad to be back under these circumstances.
Given these circumstances, there's definitely better circumstances which we could address this.
Exactly. We need to do this more often, I think is what it boils down to. Not under circumstances like this.
No. And we also have Derek Smith from Guardians. Guardian Radio.
Yes! People
want to say Guardians of Destiny, but it's Guardian Radio as the podcast, so.
Yeah, we confuse people with the website.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate it. Definitely.
So we're going to be kind of going back and forth, kind of trading the reins of the show here as we go through some of the details of what's happened with Marty. And we're going to focus more, take this opportunity to focus more on the future of what we can see with Bungie, and what Marty may have in store for his future, and kind of go back to the past a little bit and see what Marty has done and how much of an influence he's been on the gaming industry. Because I think it's safe to say that he's probably one of the most influential people when it comes to composing and writing game music. There's nothing or no one that can really stand up to the kind of caliber that he brings to the table when it comes to gaming music.
No doubt, man. I mean, when you think, I read a tweet yesterday and somebody said, you know, when you think Xbox, like, you just think of his music. You know, you think of the Halo theme like that. Just, they're one and the same. Just go together. And, you know, many people may not know, per se, his name, but the amount of people that he's affected is astronomical, you know? And I was even thinking yesterday, like, my son, I was in the car, and, you know, I was listening to, I don't know if everybody saw, I tweeted out the Halo, the picture of my physical copy of the Halo 2 soundtrack. And, you know, I was playing in the car, and he's like, Dad, why are we listening to this? I'm like, well, I'm like, you know, and I kind of explained who Marty was. I'm like, he was just, you know, or not who he was. I mean, who he still is. I don't want to say it that way. I don't want to talk that way. But I'm like, you know, this music has been so influential in video gaming. I said, up to the release, really, of Halo. I mean, look at the music up to that. You had your 16-bit music from, you know, Final Fantasy games and that at that point. You know, sure, you had your Final Fantasy 7. And stuff like that. But up to that point, I think some of the most recognizable music like Halo was like the Mario Brothers theme. You know, you never had just a song like that or a riff like that. And until Marty came along and they really brought in the orchestral pieces and all that to gaming. I mean, it just and then from then on, he just
the Gregorian chant was the big
gaming moving
was
forward,
a big fan.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Gregorian chant, absolutely.
Yep.
He made it a motion picture type of quality. He brought motion picture soundtracks to gaming. And then, of course, everyone else had to follow suit. But when you look at his music and how it tied into the emotional roller coaster ride of the first Halo and how the game actually kind of pulled at your emotional fibers with the music backing it up, you know, causing your hair in the back of your neck to curl up a little bit, you know, you're like, that's memorable. That's what I want. And it was the next generation of gaming. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's been a very nice ride for us, I think, as Bungie and Halo fans alike. And it's just kind of sad to see Marty just kind of leave in such an abrupt way. I think wow. It came at a very unexpected time. And it was one of those things where everyone that has had some piece of Halo, or just if they're a Bungie fan, it's kind of like we lost a piece of that over this last week.
Yep.
So
yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first heard about it, that's the first thing I thought was half of the game is gone. You think that, but it's just the music. You know, no disrespect to Marty O'Donnell, it's just the music. However, the game is still intact as far as Destiny is concerned. But when you think of him not being there, you're thinking like, wow, what does that mean for the future?
Yeah, well, Derek, I mean, when you say it's just the music, you know, for me, you know, one of the most iconic gaming experiences I ever had is that second level of Halo Combat Evolved, and you get in that Warthog.
Oh, you know, man,
and the
I remember.
Music just picks up. Dude, I mean, there is nothing. That's like the pinnacle for me still to this day of gaming. Exactly. And if it wasn't for the music, it probably wouldn't be as impactful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear people say, you know, that saw early screenings of Star Wars before John Williams' music was put in it. And it was like, this thing is laughable. You know, they would laugh at Star Wars. Like, what is this? You know, it's just this some space comedy. Point. But then as soon as John Williams' music hit it, it just became epic. Right. And you almost, you know, I think the same could be said with the Bungie games of the past is, you know, without that music, they would potentially just not be as epic, I guess, if you want to say, or at least the campaigns would be as epic
absolutely.
As they are.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Yeah. Definitely have to agree with you on there. Yep.
And I have to say that with Marty's music, it's not really, you mentioned the kind of the soundtrack aspect to it, but one of the things I really like about Marty's music compared to some of the other game music that we hear is it doesn't have that soundtrack feel that you would get with most Hollywood movies. And one of the things that I've kind of mentioned in passing when, like really early on when Halo 4 first came out was the music style that Neil Davidge uses for Halo 4. It's very much iconic of a motion picture soundtrack, and it has a different feel than what Marty's music has, which is, I was explaining this last night when I was recording with the guys over at Drunken Halo, and Marty's music actually does a very good job of complementing what's going on in the game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Versus a lot of soundtrack music from like Hollywood and like games like Call of Duty and Battlefield, where I feel that a lot of emphasis is put on the soundtrack to set the mood, where Marty's is more to complement the mood.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's kind of what I take away from his style of writing music. And I think it's one of the reasons why Halo music is so iconic. It's actually so heartfelt to people. Because whenever I, like, sometimes I go to sleep listening to the ODST soundtrack because it's just that freaking cool.
But you know, it's the music also is can be considered a character within the game. I think that's one of the things I see with his music. When you play a Halo game, or excuse me, let's go back to Halo Evolved. Even if you look at Destiny, we haven't had our hands on the game yet, of course. But when you look at how they're presenting it and the ideas that are conveyed from it and the music on top of it, it actually feels like the music that is a character. It feels like it's a character within it, and you're expecting it to kind of push you to cause you to retreat, to cause you to go in with your fire team or not, just based on how that music mood will be set. So,
but I think also, Derek, when you say that, I mean, it just, you know, shows the idea that like Marty's music was more about setting kind of the overall, it was, even though the music was happening at that moment, what's happening on screen, and like you said, Dustin, kind of accenting, you know, what's happening at that moment. However, it still was kind of in the whole overarching theme of the game itself. Yes. Like the ODST soundtrack, you have that sax that just keeps coming up in every theme, and it's just kind of this whole overarching. You could listen to that soundtrack basically and just be transposed into the game just in your head, essentially. Right. Where if you listen to, let's say, a Call of Duty, or you mentioned Battlefield, the Battlefield soundtrack, that song you hear... Nah. And for each individual track is for that moment when there's explosions happening on the screen, and that's it. You know, you're when you move on to the next mission or campaign mission, it's just another song, you know, where with Marty's music, you could sit there and listen to that soundtrack from beginning to end, and every song carried over that overarching theme. And it's, I mean, Dustin, you were going to bed listening to the ODST soundtrack. Like, that shows just how awesome that music is, you know. Battlefield soundtrack, you know, I may find a track out there to listen to it and just never listen to it again. You know, I'm not going to go to bed to that stuff, you know. Right. It's crazy.
Well, and the Halo soundtracks do such a good job of encompassing a lot of different kinds of emotions, too. You have a lot of action sequences, and then you have a lot of heartfelt sequences, like when she finds Cortana in Halo 3, when Keyes dies in Halo 1. There's lots of moments that are very well set with the mood in the game, but then you have the music come in, and it's like this emotional rush that just completely overtakes you, and it really envelops you into the game. And it's kind of interesting to know with Destiny, too, because... he didn't really have much to go off with. And in the past, Marty has used gameplay and like stories that have already been kind of written by the developers to craft some of his music. And this time with Destiny, he was only given ideas of what was going on and didn't really have anything concrete. And he's writing this music to try to fill in that role. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Destiny music really fits in compared to how it fit in with Halo.
That's true.
With Halo, it had that a lot more close-knit tie together, and this is a little more disconnected, and now it's completely disconnected that he's not even there anymore.
Right. Well, which I mean, sucks. That was one of the things, like, with the difference between Marty's departure and Joseph Staten's departure. Joseph leaving was kind of one of those. Of course, he did it on his own terms, but it was more because, hey, he just wanted to pursue a new creative avenue. You know, maybe he didn't want to work in space fantasy, space operas anymore. You know, he was done with that. And so, you know, when you look at what Marty's doing with Destiny, it was like, you can maybe equate that. But in the same sense, the fact of what you just said, that it's brand new. You know, he didn't have to work in that same universe like they did with Halo. You would think he'd want to stick with it because it is completely new and you can start from scratch. And everything we hear from everybody so far working on Destiny at Bungie that was there for the Halo series, that's what they love about it, is the sky's the limit, or the space is the limit. You know, if you want to say that, they can do whatever they want. And that's why they have enjoyed working at it. But, you know, just with Marty leaving, I mean, you know, I don't know if we really want to go in. I mean, do we want to do it now? Kind of, you know, there are rumors obviously running around. I'm sure people out there have you know, been reading these things. There was somebody over on Reddit posting saying that it was a argument over money, you know, him possibly wanting a raise, and then that just led to things escalated. And then, of course, I mean, Marty's tweet, if you haven't heard it yet, this was yesterday. I woke up to this yesterday. I'm sure as many people did. It came out late in the night. And he just tweeted and said, "I'm saddened to say that Bungie's board of directors terminated me without cause on April 11th. 2014.
Brutal.
And then we had a small post by Bungie, by Deej of all people, who, you know, I'm sure him typing it just before he hit that enter button. Just,
oh my God.
Had that big deep breath, like, do I want to do this? And boom, of course, he pushed it out. And one paragraph. That's really all they can, you know, give to Marty.
And that, and Mark, that's something for me that was interesting because, you know, Deej is wonderful. We know Deej is absolutely fabulous, Mark. We've met him. And of course, he's employed by Bungie. And of course, he has to do what he's told. But it just, you know, when you see the let's call it the farewell speech. Or farewell speech.
You want to try that again?
Sorry. The farewell speech. Sorry, guys. You know, it just, the five or six lines were like, yep, okay.
Yeah.
On to other business.
The biggest surprise to this, though, is just the timing of it. Like, Destiny's not even done. There's still a lot of other things to go. And he wasn't just the composer of the music of Destiny or Bungie. He was the freaking audio director. He was
the audio director
of everything audio related. Yeah, everything. Yep.
Shells hitting the ground, all that stuff.
Lines, dialogue, music, you name it. If you hear it, he had some part in it. And now it's like, okay, there's a void there. Who's coming in to take his spot?
You know, I mean, they still have Michael Salvatore, who he's worked with for years. So, you know, we don't know yet if he's going to step up, but, you know,
that I mean, he's been working with Sir Paul McCartney, so there's that possibility as well.
True. Yep.
I don't believe any efforts that Bungie puts in Destiny or any other properties that they, you know, bring to us in the future, we won't see a dip because of the absence of Marty on the front of speaking about things outside of soundtrack influence, because the industry is filled with talented, beyond talented people to fill that void. Okay. That void, but that's different from the soundtrack side of things. So I don't think that's really a big issue at all. But how you are married to the gameplay experience through the sound experience with the soundtrack more so than anything, I think will be the dip or something that we'll have to pay close attention to.
Yeah, well, over in the chat, It's Jez pointed out, which if you don't know by now, Marty actually has his own website now. It's MartyO'DonnellMusic.com. So you can follow where he's going over there. But he is hooking up with Video Games Live and Tommy Tallarico, who's traveling video game show. He's going to be with them on April 27th at the Paramount. It's in Seattle, of all places. And then they're going to be at the L.A. show on June 11th at the Nokia Theater, which is during E3. That's going to be the E3 show. Marty is going to be playing at Video Games Live. Yeah, which is crazy. He's even doing a meet and greet at that point. So,
sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're just scratching the surface here, people. I did want to talk about or get one other person in here who I invite on the show. Lane Thomas, he's actually the composer behind one of our projects, the Halo Mole. So he has joined us. So welcome back, Lane.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. So I'm guessing you've heard some of the conversations, so hopefully we're not leaving you too much in the dark at the moment.
Yeah, I was listening in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Nice.
Sweet. So the first thing I wanted to just kind of finally get off the plate is what happened with Marty and Bungie. And it's really short because there's not much details out there. It seems like both sides are either legally obligated to not say anything, or neither side wants to really say anything for a while. And we may never know. But like Mark said earlier, Marty put out a tweet late on Tuesday night, and most people woke up to it yesterday morning to be like, what?
Screaming. Screaming.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter was lit up. I was surprised that Save Marty, or I forget what the other hashtag was, wasn't a trending topic on Twitter.
Yeah, man. Twitter exploded.
Twitter freaking almost crashed. It would have been so cool if it actually crashed from all the Marty tweets.
That would have been cool.
I think that would have said something pretty significant.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, I mean,
as far as we know, though.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, when Deej was getting ready to put up that update, like he just had to have taken that deep breath, like, oh, just the fallout, knowing that that was coming. I mean, you know, just the fact that Twitter exploded, Reddit exploded, everything. I mean, all day yesterday, that's all I saw was everything. And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it here in a little bit about the community response to it, because there was tons and tons of negativity. God. But let's keep going here. Let's go in kind of the order here of things that you want to roll with it here.
Oh, yes. Someone put in the chat, bring back Marty. That was one of them. Although there was another one, another hashtag that was used.
I think thank you, Marty. I saw a lot people were kind of putting out there. So
I have to go back and check. And then there were some tweets, and this we'll get into this a little bit later. But like 343 hire Marty, I think was another hashtag.
Nice.
All the Halo fans are like, we want our Halo music back.
Yeah. Well, so I was joking with you earlier, man. It's like, it's a sad day for Destiny fans. Like, oh, we're losing Marty O'Donnell. But then, you know, the 343 Halo people are probably like, yes, now Marty is free. Get him over here. Get him over here. So
I think that would be, it would be interesting if Marty were to go over this 343 that quickly.
Yes, it would.
I don't think it would really happen like that, though. But
I got the impression. I got the impression when he was done with Reach that he was sort of tired of working with the old themes and stuff and wanted to move on to something new. So I'm not even sure if he would come back.
True.
You think Joseph Staten could have some influence on that? Possibly.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a
I
good
mean, just
point.
Another because what Joseph right now he's head of just what was it Xbox.
Head of Xbox Studios.
Right. Uh-huh. So you know, potentially maybe not even. Game wise, you know, he could work on some of the entertainment pieces and that they're putting together, do music for that, whether or not he wants to get outside of games. I mean, heck, this is the guy we're talking here for people who don't know. He created the Flintstones Vitamins theme. You know, when you're a kid, it's the Flintstone kids, 10 wow. million strong and growing. That's Marty O'Donnell. Like, he created.
Is it really?
Yeah, wow. man. This is the
That's
guy.
Awesome.
So, I must prefer the Bungie jingle.
Of video games.
For the Bungie kids.
Yeah, you might have to change that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they can't use it anymore. That's right.
Well, I think he owns the creative license for that. I don't think Bungie owns it.
I'm sure he does, yeah. So he can probably,
still use that as much as he wants to.
Well, no. I think we're saying that Bungie can't use it anymore because that was probably him saying it's cool to use. I don't know.
But,
I saw he...
We're going to be talking to each other a lot, aren't we?
Yeah. I saw he dropped the Spielberg name in that article on... Destiny.bungie.org.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting if he teamed up to do music for the Halo show that we've been hearing about.
Yeah, man. Something we wouldn't make that connection. Just because of the fact that we do know Spielberg is working on a Halo production, and we do know that it's Marty, and he did say Spielberg. I don't want to say it's like any major coincidence, because it's definitely not a coincidence. It is a coincidence. Sorry. That he used Spielberg. I don't think there's any ties to him actually coming on and doing the Halo show, or the music for it at least.
But could that have been him just kind of crying out to Spielberg? Maybe just saying he says I've never done feature film, but I've worked on film scores, I've done commercials, I've done video games. If Spielberg called, I wouldn't say no. So maybe he's
kind of saying out there that. He realizes the potential that he has, and that people will be like grabbing for him because he's open and available now. He's not tied to Bungie. And I think he's just kind of keeping his mind open to the possibilities. But it's, I don't think it's him saying at all that he would work on a Halo feature if he got called up by Spielberg. Maybe he would, But I'm hoping that a lot of people just don't automatically jump on the bandwagon. Like, we, at least, I don't know how much you guys have witnessed all the Halo 5 stuff that's gone on with Phil Spencer and the I Love Bees 2 coming out and everyone jumping and assuming everything. But I hope people don't do that with this article. I hope people are a little more level-headed and just kind of take it for the fact that Marty is just out there looking for possibilities and is open to any kind of opportunities that comes around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dustin, I will say this. I would hope that everybody would be level-headed, but did you read some of the comments in the Bungie.net post that Deej put up?
People are
not level-headed at all, man. They are just...
At all.
Oh, my God. I'm reading those comments yesterday. People are just...
I kind of stay away from those comments, man. Sometimes.
Oh, they're insane.
But it was every comment. I mean,
it's flame bait, though. If you think about those kinds of posts, though, it's going to attract a lot of negativity, and you have to pull out the little gems that a few people post, and sometimes it's hard to find. So I honestly didn't even bother looking at the comments on that post because I know a lot of people were upset, but from what I saw on Twitter, the reaction was actually not that bad. It was more kind of quizzical as to, at least from the tweets I saw, it seemed more on the side of quizzical as to why it happened, why this certain way, and more kind of apathy for Marty that he got let go and that everyone was just kind of wishing him well on his next journey.
Yep. Right. Well, that's what you would expect. I expected that in the Bungie thread. I did not get that. It was, wow.
Well, Derek, you know what it was? I think people were more, for whatever reason, just taking the fact that they're saddened by it and just turning it into anger against Bungie. I mean, we were seeing things on there, people saying they're canceling their pre-orders. They're going to break. I mean, people say they're going to break their Halo discs. I mean, come on, guys. Like, you know, Marty's moving on to, you know, brighter things. You know, they've parted ways regardless of what caused it. Mm-hmm. The end is still the same. You know, Marty's moving on, and that's
but you have to think about the consumer having a voice of some kind. If they don't approve of some action that a developer takes, then it may be their way of saying, I don't support that decision that you've made, and they cancel their pre-order. I don't necessarily see it as a lash out of just like completely all hate of the situation. It's people reacting to what's happened. And frankly, for me, I think that it was stupid on Bungie's part at this stage to let them go. Now, maybe after Destiny came out, maybe a little more reasonable. But at this stage of development with Destiny being so close to coming out with their beta, it's kind of odd.
I agree with you there, Dusty, because my question is, why or did you know that you were going to let go of this guy? I mean, right before the beta, his work is basically done for the most part, and you canned the guy? I mean, is it really that much of a coincidence? Was there really a debate about him wanting more money and someone got upset and just let him go? I mean, come on. We talk about professionals here, or hopefully we're talking about professionals who have level heads. You don't just let a Marty O'Donnell go. You know, the Bulls just don't let go of Michael Jordan. I mean, seriously. Okay, so you don't do that. So is that just a front, and was it something that had to do with financial politics? It's all about the bottom line. The board of Bungie said, hey, we're done.
But
it was already premeditated. I don't know.
Financially, obviously, there's some the root cause of this somehow has to be financial. Because in the end, like I told you, man, like Marty is almost a figurehead for Bungie. I mean, he's one of those guys that when you think of Bungie, I would always think of Jason Jones, Joseph Staten, and Marty O'Donnell. Two of those guys now are gone from Bungie. Jason Jones is still there. You know, that's kind of an odd thing now, in an odd state for Bungie right now. I mean, Marty was such a figurehead for them. They brought him out at the PlayStation 4 announcement. When they announced the system, Marty was one of those guys with the odd hands on stage sitting there when they rolled out the Destiny trailer, because he's such a known figure to not only just Bungie fans, but just to gamers. Gamers know Marty O'Donnell. And so you would almost think that you know, Bungie would want to just keep him, or the board of directors would want to just keep him there for that reason alone. But obviously, you know, I think, Derek, you kind of hit it on the head. Maybe financially is where it's at. You know, again, we don't know the situation. There's two sides to every story.
Sure.
But
sure,
you know, it's odd, man. And it's sad being a longtime Bungie fan. And like I said, him being one of the faces of Bungie. When I think of Bungie, you know, us as Bungie fans, that's where we're saddened. And I could see where some people, I guess, want to get angry over it, but I just, you know, it's crazy to me to see people screaming on the internet. I don't know.
Grown men. Well,
and you have to look at the other side of people. We may never know what happened. Apparently, I was reading, I can't remember where I was reading this, but apparently, the fact there's the way
Eurogamer has an article up.
Does, like, if you get terminated without cause, apparently in the state of Washington, you can get terminated without cause and they don't have to explain why.
Yep. It's, the DBO article has it. He was let go without cause, which means legally that Bungie does not have to justify the firing with proof of incompetence or malicious intent.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Arizona has the same.
Which is very unfortunate.
Yep.
But.
And you know what? Wouldn't you think then something like that had to be just like a gut reaction? You know, that wasn't something that was more well calculated almost. Or, you know, like Derek, you asked, how long did they know they were going to do that? You know, to me, something based off this without cause would be something that was just kind of spontaneous. Like they just, you know, and maybe that rumor that we're hearing is true, where there was an argument in there and that's what led to it. And so it was kind of this on the spot firing of him. You know, that would make more sense rather than the financial thing. Like, hey, we're looking at the numbers. It doesn't really make sense. Don't you want to at least push the game out? Let the game go gold. Let it get out there. Show Marty at the launch parties and then let it happen after that. That would, like you said, Dustin, like the timing is odd. It just doesn't make sense. To do it.
No.
I don't know.
But it is nice to see that he is moving on, though. He has a website, like you mentioned. He's going to start putting up projects that he's working on. And I think Destiny will probably show up there. And then whatever he moves on to afterwards, if he does something video or TV related, or maybe gets hired on to another developer, who knows? But he has a website. It's MartyO'DonnellMusic.com. So if you... haven't seen it yet, I would recommend going over there, subscribing to the newsletter. That's probably the fastest way you're going to be able to find out news about Marty whenever he decides to put some out. And like Mark said earlier, the Video Games Live article, I think it's like the only thing on there right now, but he's going to be in L.A. And the tickets for that actually go on sale tomorrow, actually.
Yep, 18th.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. But let's turn to... just kind of the contribution that Smarty has done. We've kind of mentioned a little bit on the different styles that he brought to Halo and other games like Oni and Myth and now Destiny. But let's kind of step back and go through just how much of an influence he is. Because I think as far as general gamers are concerned, at least for the Xbox, if you hear any Halo music, you know it's Halo, even if you haven't played it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he won, I think, like two different awards at the VGAs for his soundtracks with Halo. Does that sound right?
Did he really?
Yeah, I think he won one for ODST. I know he won one for ODST. I can't remember if he won one for Reach. But I mean, the fact that he was able to produce soundtracks that just like swept the board on the awards sometimes was, I think, speaks to how influential his music is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think back, man, just even in my own personal experience, and I think most gamers could say this, like there's not many games that you can really remember the soundtracks from, you know, and Halo has always been a series that is that way. Like you know that music, you know, like I don't know the music of, I'm trying to think of just some random game, you know, Duke Nukem Forever. That's terrible at a game to bring up because who the heck knows anything about
God.
It? But you know what I'm saying? Like nobody knows that
I know
stuff.
What you mean, Mark.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Like you don't know that stuff, but Halo... you know that music regardless. You can almost hear a track and tell which even Halo it's from because it's so iconic. And Derek, you said earlier, it's a character in the game. That's the way that the music was, you know, that he did for the series. And I don't know. What about you guys? Anything music wise? Brent, where's Brent? Is Brent here? Brent is being kind of quiet.
Yeah, I'm here. Just there's a lot of buzz on my microphone, so I was trying to keep it.
Oh, gotcha, man. But in terms of the music, man, for you, I mean, what's the impact it's had on you?
It's had a lot of impact on me. Actually, on my senior year of high school, they made us pick one song to choose as like some sort of like tribute to high school. I don't even know what it was about, but I had to pick one. And for me, the most sentimental song was Never Forget from Halo 3 at that period in time.
Nice.
So I played that. And I actually got a lot of people that never even heard of Halo. Like, they love that song. Like, they actually enjoy that song. It's like, that's the point. Like, Marty has a very wide appeal to people. I mean, it's great stuff. And I just have no idea why they got rid of him. Like, I can't even imagine it. There's probably some sort of, you know, like non-disparagement agreement they have where he can't speak about it, but I'm sure he would love to speak about it if he could.
Yep.
Just the fact that, you know, he went on that tweet, you know, I hate that, you know, I was fired for no reason from the board of directors. I mean, people were originally kind of skeptical about why he was thrown out, because you would think that the only reason you'd get thrown out at that period of time is if you had committed some sort of like real ethical violation, or if you just ruined development for some reason.
Yeah.
And, but he still came out and said, nope, I was fired for no reason stated, you know, so if you want to deal with it, you go ask them, but I can't talk about it basically. So, I still
think this would be a perfect time for you to tell your, Marty's Army story again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I guess this is a good time. Back in, I guess it was 2000 or, yeah, it was 2005, about
prime
4 months after.
Pot-tacular.
Yeah. It was a while after Halo 2's development and release. And, you know, Halo 2 was going, everybody was on the BNet forums and stuff, with the different clan system that was going on with Halo 2. And, they had different boards and stuff on BNet for the different, clan system, but even without the clans, you could still start a group on BNet. And Marty had a group called the Marty Army that had existed even before Halo 2, just when BNet was, you know, first up on the internet. But anyway, the Marty Army was basically anybody could join if you, you know, knew it was there and you basically submitted your application, and it just automatically put you in. But I was in the Marty Army, and I was only 14 or 15 at the time. You know, I was stupid, you know, really stupid teenager, more stupid than I am now. And so I was on the internet, and at the time I thought myself a great writer. You know, I was writing all the time on forums. I thought I was just clever as hell, and I really wasn't. But I'd wrote some sort of, you know, weird rant about Halo 2. I don't even remember what it was, but I put it up on the Marty Army forums. And basically Marty came in and said, look, if you want to rant, do it on your own forum board. And like ended the thread right there. He locked it immediately.
Oh no, that's
and like it, for a year I was just mad at Marty, you know. But at the same time, it was like cool that
how
he
cool
stepped
is it?
In
yeah,
and
he locked
put me
it down.
Marty hated that's me. Great. Yes.
It's like, yeah, I mean, if you're gonna get slapped by your own hero, you know. So
right,
yeah,
right. That's so cool, man.
I think Lane probably could talk best to the kind of influence that Marty has on people, because I think some of his music is influenced on it. And I know, Lane, you've actually done some covers of some of his music.
Yeah, definitely. His influences on me have just been just sort of off the charts, basically, because Halo was sort of like my first like real experience with like video games and stuff. So like my first experience with Halo was just that that loading screen with the monks on in the background and stuff. So it's just been a huge influence on me. And so I've done a bunch of covers of different songs that I enjoy. And then it's definitely, I feel like it's affected my my musical style as well. So what can I say? It's his influence is huge, unmeasurable.
Well, I will say briefly for us on Guardian Radio, I mean, for us early on, we did started doing the show in terms of, you know, just the regular podcast every week. But then we started doing a 10-minute like news show. And the very first episode I put it out and I grabbed some short loop. It was like, I think, 4 bars or 8 bars of music, and just looped over and over and over and over and over for the 10 minutes. And it was me just like spitting out all this news about Destiny over it. And I think it was the third comment on that story Marty posted on our website and just said, 10 minute podcast, good. You know, 10 minutes of repeating 4 bars, bad. And that was it.
He sure did.
Yeah, and then
sure
like, you know, did. I went in, I'm like, who is this guy? And I went in, sure enough, it was Marty. So him and I kind of corresponded back and forth, and he's like, yeah, you don't want to do that. So we went in and we changed it. And then that show is actually what became our Ghosts and Echoes, which is our kind of audio drama. It kind of like started out in terms of a new show with our little AI Strauss doing it. And then it developed into what it is now. And if it wasn't for Marty, I mean, I probably still would have been talking over, you know, stupid 4 bars of music, just repeating over and over. So for us, and our show, yeah, specifically, I mean, he impacted, you know, Guardian Radio just immediately rather than just, you know, our overarching gaming in that. So, I mean, the guy just musically is a genius.
Yes, he is.
It's crazy. So, I don't know, anybody else have any stories about Marty? Did we lose some people?
Hold on.
All right, well, I'll contribute.
No, sorry,
something.
I have my mic muted. Yeah, podcast mistake.
Anyways, I'm like, oh, that's oh, great. No.
But I have a couple from Twitter. Our good friends over at Griffball Hub, Cal Bagarian, who does the league administration over there, he said that for his and Goose Checka's wedding, they actually had the intro music for the wedding as one final effort from the Halo 3 soundtrack.
Nice.
So that is pretty cool. That, I mean, we have Marty's music infiltrating weddings. we have a couple other people say on here that Never Forget was is their favorite. Finish the Fight, Overture, and ODST soundtrack is a big popular one as well, from all the tweets that we got. And I have to say, for me personally, other than the Halo theme, I Never Forget is probably my favorite and most emotion-wrenching song that Marty has written. Even though that the ODST soundtrack as a whole is great, Never Forget is just, like, I almost tear up every time I listen to it. And I'll crank it up in my car when I'm driving down the road, and it's a beautiful piece of music, and I wish there was a longer version of it. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many tracks, man, when you start kind of diving through, you know, a lot of that stuff. You know, like I said, for me, I think probably one of my favorite soundtracks is, and I tweeted this out yesterday, is the Halo 2 Volume 1. Which oddly, listening back to it, I remembered that Incubus had some songs on there, and then, like, it kind of started playing. I was like, wait a minute, there's an Incubus song on the soundtrack? I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Which is kind of odd hearing that mixed in with, you know, Marty's music that they did that back then. And that was probably just to, you know, make it seem like it was cool. But, you know, I always just skip past those tracks and just continue on with Marty's music.
Yeah.
I asked people over on our forums to post some stories here. And I want to read one of these. This is kind of a little bit long-winded, but I think it's a great one here. This is from Orca Orkinus, and he says, Marty, his work simply is the benchmark for audio-supporting gameplay, richly enhancing moods and emphasizing emotions. He seemed effortlessly to generate a deeper connection for players to the games he scored. The indescribable inspiration I would feel in the midst of tackling Halo CE in a solo legendary playthrough, as that iconic theme song would suddenly blur out in full guitar metal mode, it would thoroughly overcome my frustration at nigh unskillable Sengeli. That music still gets my heart thumping even today. He says, even Jeremy Soule of Bethesda comes to mind as a grandmaster in many ways, but there is really no one else that could match Marty as such a successful and personable emissary for music in gaming. He helped elevate it to a high art, and I cannot wait to find out where he goes from here. I never would have believed that such a progressive and employee-focused studio as Bungie might lose such talent, but he will go on to be even greater than what he was known for now. So, there you go, man.
Wherever he ends up is going to be, he's leaving a huge wake behind him, too. It's not like he's just going to fall off the radar. He's definitely out there. People are probably hounding him with opportunities to
create opportunities
with stuff. And he's in the position to really pick and choose what he wants to do.
Totally, man. Yep.
Like, if you could rank all the video game composers, he's probably at the top of the list by a pretty big margin.
Oh, yeah, man.
I would say so.
Easily.
Yeah, I would say so.
Let me ask you guys this kind of just a fun question to throw out here. If any studio you could have him go, where would you want him to go?
Wow, that's so cool.
I told you yesterday, Derek, I think Naughty Dog would be great. Pull together their narrative-driven stories with Marty's score. I mean, that would just be
insanity.
Epic.
Yeah. I see Marty, though, scoring something bigger than what we've got from, let's say, a Naughty Dog. Even though The Last of Us was quite compelling and phenomenal, I'm thinking something more on the lines of a sci-fi, something that's huge and big and massive and expansive over like two decades. That's where his music belongs. Just my personal opinion. Bungie, right? I don't know. That's a great question. I want to play with that for a second here. There's a lot of franchises that I would love to put him on, you know, being completely selfish. Sure, absolutely. But I don't know.
And like, what kind of games would really benefit from his kind of music too, because there's definitely a lot of franchises that are currently out there that have their own kind of tunes already set, like Battlefield and Call of Duty, and I'm thinking a lot of first-person shooters here and Borderlands. But can you really think of a current franchise that's out there that could benefit, or do you think he'd be better at a new startup first-person shooter kind of place?
Honestly,
startup.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's gotta be startup.
Yeah, I would think startup. I think well-established he could definitely do, but I think startup would be the way to go, because he brings such whenever he writes stuff, he brings such a unique feel to it. And I think trying to interject that into a currently established franchise would just not work as well. Granted, the music would probably be pretty good, but it would really change. I mean, the music he writes for Halo and for Destiny, it has an impact to the game that a lot of other soundtracks don't have. So to come in and do that to an existing franchise, it completely changes the mood. So I think it almost has to be something new. Yeah.
Well,
you know, and the same thing for TV. Like he mentioned, or in the interview from that DBO posted, he mentioned that it wouldn't just be video games. It could be TV. It could be the big screen. Like the possibilities are not, he's not just restricting himself to video games.
Yeah, local right. commercials.
Yeah.
The Flintstones jingle.
I could see him doing a Fallout 4 or a Half-Life, you know, a new Half-Life. I mean, because, you know, those.
Fallout would be cool.
Right. A Fallout would 3. Be,
yeah. Right. Is this confirmation?
No.
Here we go.
But I can kind of see that. I can kind of see that. I don't think he would do that, but. That would make sense, but I do agree with you, Justin.
Well, you know, I think, you know, like we chatted about earlier about how the music kind of just escalates whatever the project is to that epicness. So like, you know, like that Star Wars analogy, how, you know, Star Wars, they saw it didn't look as good, but as soon as the music's applied to it, it made it that much better. I'm sure any game development company out there right now is chomping at the bit to know that, you know, his music could elevate their content, you know, to that next level. And so, you know, I don't know. I think that's why it would have to be something original. You know, the Division. Have to be a brand new. Well, yeah, I guess the. Well, see, I don't know about the Division, man. I mean, that being more of an MMO-ish style game. I mean, you know, Jeremy Soule, someone mentioned you know, in that DBO article about, or I'm sorry, in our post here in our forums about Jeremy Soule, the guy that does all the Elder Scrolls music. You know, that music, even though it does set the mood, it just still. I don't know. There is
something
not,
epic about it.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls.
Oh, it is, dude. Believe me, I literally have the Elder Scrolls Online soundtrack sitting here right in front of me right now.
I have the Elder Scrolls soundtrack, the 4-disc set.
Yeah, it's signed? Do you have it signed by Jeremy?
No, I don't have it signed.
Oh, see, my wife got me for Christmas the Skyrim one signed. I got it nice.
Mark's lucky. Aside.
But anyways, but you know what I mean? Like the just, I could see a company out there really wanting to pick him up because it really would, you know, just well, putting his
every,
name.
Every
I
company
think,
would
there.
Be stumbling over to pick him up. Stumbling over each other to pick him up, I would think.
Crazy, man.
Someone in the chat, Eon Switchblade, actually mentioned Mass Effect. And they're actually, I mean, the Shepard era is done. So, and they are working on a new one. So that would actually be a pretty interesting gig for him to pick up.
Hmm.
I agree.
That those Mass Effect soundtracks are pretty good too, though. I don't know, but yeah, for the new direction, like you said, yeah. Now that the Shepard trilogy is done, to take
the
it
Marty
elsewhere,
touch. It'd be Midas, very much so.
That's an interesting thought, man. You
it
know,
is.
But again, you know, that's Marty. Not to say doing the same thing, but it's like he did the Halo series, space opera. You know, he's worked on Destiny, space. You know, would he want to go do that again? I don't know. Maybe that is his thing.
Maybe he wants to push himself, man. I mean, like you said, you know, he's done the whole space opera thing. Go to a whole new thing. I mean, look at Amy Hennig. You know, she's always done these action adventures, and now she's doing a Star Wars, which I think is going to be leaned towards more of an action adventure, but from a development side. But she's kind of taking on a new challenge. It might be interesting to see him take on a new challenge, doing what he's done, but on a different genre of scopes. That would be nice. Let him test his skills.
But, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's the possibilities are endless out there, and it is nice to see him kind of pursue stuff other than Halo with Destiny. But we're gonna see even a new side of Marty that is outside of Bungie, outside of the whole sci-fi thing. He may have something in his back pocket that's not sci-fi related, even though he's done sci-fi for the last 20 plus years, maybe. Right. So he may have another like. Musical side of him that he wants to express that he hasn't had a chance to, so we may see that come out too.
I'd love for him to just release a CD of just his own music just on its own and see where that goes,
see what happens. Yeah,
platinum, that's where it goes.
That's true, man, because especially
straight
now
to platinum.
Because people, you know, like we all bought the Halo soundtracks because they, you know, of course it's his music, but it was really because it was the Halo soundtrack. So yeah, would we buy the Marty, just the Marty O'Donnell orchestral piece soundtrack? You know, knowing who he is, we would. You know, I think most of us on here and people probably tuning into this, we would buy it because we want to hear what he's going to come out with. That's an interesting thought, man. If he just, yeah, just go ahead and do that. Just put out music and see where that goes. Of course, it's not going to be probably going top 40 and, you know, hitting Ryan Seacrest or whatever, but I'm sure he could still sell some copies because people, yeah, would definitely want to hear that. That would be interesting, man. See what that
does. Soundtrack radio.
Soundtrack radio.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some iHeartRadio channel out there that plays.
Probably. I have a Pandora channel that's all video game soundtrack.
Yeah. I've seen that out there, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. But, so let's talk about the future of Bungie. How the audio is going to kind of fall now that the game's, now Marty-less. Most of the stuff, like Derek mentioned earlier, is probably already set in place. In terms of the soundtracks, the audio assets, and we're getting close to beta launch anyway. I think it's coming out next month, right?
Date yet, man. No date yet, specifically. We just know it's hopefully soon. They had an 8-week period about 6 weeks ago where they were just saying, I think Deej put it in one of the posts, like, you know, our eight-week timeline is starting now, and like that was it. And there was no, is that mean that that's the beta is going to then go into testing at that point? Is that going to be the beta announcement? But we do know this week press was out there. A lot of the major gaming sites were at Bungie Studios here in Seattle, and that preview should be rolling out this week. And usually when we see the big press ramp up, that means that we're probably going to have some big announcement soon. So I'm guessing probably in the next couple weeks, we're going to finally get the official date of the beta. But actually, this is to go over Eurogamer had an article today. And they interviewed Pete Parsons, who's the COO, and he did say that, and this is a quote from him, he said, I think the Bungie fan base is going to look forward to hearing Marty's music, Mike Salvatore's music, and Paul, meaning Paul McCartney's music, in the game. So the music is going to be in the game, like, you know, at least Destiny 1 per se. So people that were freaking out thinking that his music was not going to be in there, it is going to be in Destiny. So at least Destiny 1, we should say. So, but what I'm kind of interested in is last year, there was the announcement that they had this Music of the Spheres kind of prequel soundtrack that they were going to release. And we actually, our own Craig Hargrove, who's one of our co-hosts on Guardian Radio, actually at E3 last year, hooked up with Marty and handed him this little card that had it. And it had kind of the different pieces, and it was based off each planet that's going to be in Destiny. And it was kind of movements, musical scores. And so we were assuming that that was going to be coming out. And I wouldn't even say Jeff Keighley at some point around E3 last year tweeted out that it was going to be coming out later on in that summer. And that still has not been released. So we don't know if what the story is on that. And Marty even at one point said it's been done. I think it was in they did a Vidoc on Game Informer, said that it had been done for over a year. So we don't know where this Music of the Spheres is that Marty. And that's actually what Paul McCartney helped him work on. We don't know where that is. So I don't know what the deal is, why that hasn't come out yet, but hopefully we'll get that soon. But regardless of that, Marty's music will be in the game, at least the initial release. But you know,
awesome.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, though, seeing the transition from the Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 and 3, because I know from the Halo side of things, a lot of fans weren't as excited about the Halo 4 soundtrack. A big part of it was because it wasn't Marty, and it not being Marty, I think people were expecting a lot more than they should have, because it's very hard to live up to Marty's standards. I would almost say it's impossible to live up to Marty's standards of music, but the style of the soundtrack for Halo 4 is very much like a Hollywood-style soundtrack, and it didn't, at least for me personally, I didn't really remember much of the music from Halo 4. I have the soundtracks, but there's only one track from the original soundtrack for Halo 4 that I really kind of hold on to because it is more reminiscent of Marty's style. And it actually wasn't written by Neil Davidge. I have to pull up who it was by.
From what I remember, the soundtrack isn't a lot more like electronica type music, the Halo 4 soundtrack, or no?
Yes, it's kind of like a electric orchestra, more on that side of things.
Yep. Which is, you know, definitely a different direction for those that were looking for Marty, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard to kind of copy or cookie cut paste some of the stuff that they did with Halo without kind of basically copying Marty's style. So I think they tried to take their own spin on some of the things, and it just didn't jive well with how Halo traditionally flows as a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm thinking of 117. Everyone knows what track I was thinking about.
Well, what about Spartan Assault? How was the music in that?
It was very much like that. Halo Wars. Sort of that same style.
Okay.
Huh. But that wasn't Marty, was it? Or was it?
Mm-mm. No.
No, okay.
No, that wasn't Bungie at all, man.
Okay.
I mean, part of it, I think part of the music from Halo Wars was composed by Marty and Salvatore. I think part of it was.
Halo Wars. Yeah, I thought you were talking about Spartan Assault.
No. Yeah, Halo Wars. So, yeah. anyways. kind of awkward pause there.
Let's keep talking. I mean, the future of Bungie, that's what we're talking about here. You know, I think the biggest question for me and us as, you know, the Destiny podcast is what impact does this ultimately have on Destiny? And of course, knowing that his music is going to be in Destiny 1, and even the fact, I mean, that he was the audio engineer or audio director up at least until this point, you would assume a lot of his vision for what it's going to be would stay intact. But, you know, like you said, Dustin, I mean, we know September 9th, Destiny drops. That's 5 months from now. A lot can change from then. And his vision that he had today or last week now could be altered and could be changed moving forward. Of course, you would hope that a lot of the recordings are done, but where they're going to be placed into the game and how, you know, ultimately they're going to be mastered down could be different. And so, you know, we may not actually get at least the vision that he had within Destiny. Now, you know, in terms of people canceling pre-orders and that, is Marty leaving really going to affect, let's say, the sales of Destiny?
No.
I don't think so at all.
I mean, no.
People have already canceled the pre-orders.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to have
a long-lasting effect, though. I think people that were interested in Destiny, it's going to kind of blow over, and people are going to kind of come back to it when the beta launches. It's like, oh, I was just kidding. I want this back.
Yeah. Kind of thing. I mean, that's kind of my thing. I always go to the one stereotypical gamer I always think of is the guy who buys Call of Duty and Madden every year. That guy who is honestly, unfortunately, the majority. You know, we are in bed, you know, all of us, we love Bungie, we love Halo, we love all that stuff. So we kind of have more of this narrow focus. If you look outside into the broad scope and say, guy that buys Madden and Call of Duty, is he going to buy Destiny? Whether or not Marty's there, doesn't matter.
Yes,
he doesn't. Exactly. He probably doesn't even know who Marty is. Yeah, he knows his music. Unfortunately, exactly. He's still going to buy the game. And sure, to us, that sucks. But I just don't think it's going to affect it at all. Unfortunately,
because you look at what I think they're whispering 600,000 pre-orders. Marty's gone now. I mean, is it going to really be a dent of like 200,000? No, it won't even scratch the surface of 1,000 people canceling pre-orders. I really don't believe it. Like you said, Mark, we are the hardcore, if you will. Most people don't know who, especially looking at the angle that Bungie's taking. They're pushing Destiny as a PlayStation game. People on PlayStation, they didn't really embrace Halo like those who had 360s or Xboxes, right? So you're right. That whole
Derek, you know what? That's a good point, dude. Is potentially then maybe will this affect more those looking to buy on a Microsoft platform in terms of canceling pre-orders? Because you know, those people already were having issues with the fact that, like you said, it's being pushed as a PlayStation game. They have the deal with Sony. Right. Beta's dropping there first. Exclusive content coming to the Sony platform.
And it's a multi-platform. It's not going to drop sales.
You're right, dude. Yeah. It's going to be the Microsoft side of things are where you're going to see the more pre-orders canceled.
If it happens. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. What's your take on it, Dustin?
I kind of said it a little bit, but I don't think it's going to affect how Destiny really plays out the beginning here. It may have a very, very small impact in the long run, but I don't think, like, if anyone was following Bungie specifically for Marty, then maybe those people would be the ones that are kind of drifting away a little bit. But I think as far as the studio is concerned, I think they're still going to be okay. Now, depending on the information that comes out behind why Marty got fired, if that does come out and people get mad at if it was a money thing or if it was Activision working their corporate hand or whatever it is, then maybe it'll influence some people to walk away from Destiny because of the business decisions that they've made. But I think there's not going to be a drastic impact on the success of Destiny.
Not at all. I agree with you there, Dustin. I also agree with the fun factor. See, fun factor, in my opinion, when it comes to gaming, it supersedes everything. It supersedes relationships, marriages. It doesn't matter. Okay. When you're having fun, when your friends are having fun, Marty's going to have to take one for the team and you have to pick up Destiny. It just is what it is. I mean, and that was the whole push with, let's say, the Xbox 360 of people wanting to come together and be with their friends. It is a sad day. It was a sad day when Marty left or when we found out about it, you know, but the show must go on. You know, and that's business. Right. And people at the end of the day want to continue to have a great time.
Yeah.
If this game is a knockout classic, man, it is what it is. And we're going to hope that Marty does well in the future with what he's doing, which he will, because he's brilliant, like you said, Mark. But this game, Destiny, it's going to do well in spite of Marty. But I think what's going to be interesting to see, though, is how much of an influence outside of just our shallow talks of his soundtrack prowess, how much of the other things really affect Bungie and him leaving. And I don't think that's something we'll see, like I said again, until later. Because the work has already been laid. His genius is already embedded like cement in Destiny already. And that's what we're going to get. You know what I mean? When we jump into that experience, I personally believe it's going to be just breathtaking. And we're going to be like, oh my God. I'm not going to be thinking about Destiny 2. I'm going to be too busy on one planet for like 2 or 3 months if it's the size that they're saying it is. I mean, truly, you know?
Right. So,
it depends. It depends on the future, sure.
Well, and Drucifer 1985 wrote in the chat box, he said, for me personally, losing the lead writer is a bit more important. If you want to get serious about measuring what impacts the most, just saying. I mean, Joe Staten created the Halo universe and started this Destiny universe, so how is that not getting people to rage face and cancel pre-orders? Which I think is a stupid response. So the fact that Joe Staten, when he left, there wasn't really many cancellations or pre-orders. It kind of signifies a little bit that I don't think the Destiny game is going to take a big hit on the amount of people are going to want to experience what this new universe is.
You know, like I said earlier, man, I think the Staten departure, that was his own choice. And, you know, in all the wordage that we saw around that, the writing was done. We've known from even the beginning, Jason Jones and even Staten saying in early interviews, the overarching story of Destiny, like the one for Destiny 4 or 3, whatever it's going to be at the end, is finalized. Staten has that's created. You know, it's not like the series Lost where they just started writing it and it just went. They didn't know where they were going in the beginning. No, Destiny, they know what's going to happen.
Right. And Destiny, of course, Bible has been written.
Exactly. Some of the pieces within there, of course, you know, Staten may not be a part of, but at least creating the world and what the ultimate overarching story is there. And Staten created that and decided he wants to move on and do other things. Where in this case, it's like just an abrupt, you know, nope, you're gone. We're not even going to give you the choice. You're just out.
Right.
So that, I think, is what makes it different. And that's where the anger was fueled by, I think, more from people.
Yeah, I think from the anger perspective, definitely, that was something that is very important. But I think just from the fact that you have Joe Staten, who's been with Bungie, has he been... I guess he came on after
Long time,
Marty.
Man. I don't know. I mean, he was there obviously before Halo, but you know, Marty was what, 96? I think
96. Yeah,
I don't know when Staten was specifically.
I think Staten was there. Who were the founders originally of Bungie?
I mean, Jason Jones is one of them, and
Jason Jones,
Eric. What's his name? I can picture his name. Let me see if I can figure this out. Eric Alex Seropian was one of the guys, early guys, I think. Is that his name? Alex Seropian. Let me look this up. Keep going, man. You can keep talking.
But to have that Joe Staten, which is, if you think of the influential people in Bungie, him, Jason Jones, and Marty O'Donnell are probably the three people you instantly think of when you think of Bungie.
Yep, Seropian, Alex Seropian. He was one of the initial founders and later president of Bungie. Yep.
So to think that, with Joe Staten as big as he is, even though he just left and he didn't get fired, to see that there wasn't much of a fallout of Destiny Porters there, I would think it's safe to say that even with Marty leaving, there's still going to be a good amount of people coming out to experience Destiny, and I don't think it would affect kind of the end user adoption for the game.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
I don't know. It's just a sad day, you know, for the old Bungie garb, I think is what it is, you know, all us old Bungie fans, you know, to see that figurehead, man, his face just not be there. It's going to be sad. And I think, you know, that's where you're going to see more you know, just the community itself be impacted of the Bungie.net forums, things like that. That's where you may see more the sadness and the impact rather than in game sales. I don't think you're going to see anything in game sales. It's going to be more the communities that have built up around Bungie that, you know, may not, I guess, be as forgiving to Bungie themselves. I mean, just like I said, and I know, you know, people were telling me I was torturing myself for doing it. And believe me, I knew it as I was doing it. But go read that post that Deej put up on Bungie.net about this announcement. And I mean, the people on Bungie.net just lost their minds. I mean, it is literally lost their minds. Derek's texting me like, dude, the things they are posting is out of control. I mean, it is. Marty's own daughter went on there and even put a post up about her dad. You know, like it's just. Yeah, it's you know, the community is really impacted by this. You know, he was a face that we all, you know, and again, it's really more the circumstances. I think if this was one of those things where Marty himself did the Joseph Staten thing and said, hey, guys, you know, the music's done. I'm done. I want to move on and do something else. I mean, it would have been this great send off, you know, for Marty. Everybody would love it. The community would embrace it. And even Absolutely. Bungie would have embraced it. But it's just whatever these circumstances are. And so abruptly, that's where, you know, community is just.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So you guys would probably know a little bit more of where Bungie's going in terms of like possibly getting another person to come in behind Marty. Is there someone that's kind of been established as like a
Mark?
Yeah,
I think Mark was talking about that recently.
Oh well, who's gonna step in?
Yeah,
because I mean, Salvatore is still there. You know, him and Marty. There's that Vidoc that. Game Informer did when they did their whole month of Destiny back in December. They had it's like a 4 or 5 minute video, which people should go watch regardless, because it's pretty awesome to hear even Marty and Mike talk about the music in Destiny. And that I would assume would be the person stepping up. But right now, nothing has been established as to who's filling those roles specifically. But because Marty works so close with Mike, I would assume that's who the person is stepping in. Now, Paul McCartney, I mean, you hear that name thrown around all the time. He worked with them on the Music of the Spheres, and as far as we know, is not hand in hand right now, even, or has been for a long time working on Destiny. They just kind of put together that prequel soundtrack kind of together. And of course, I'm sure some of the musical themes would have carried over into the game and probably will. But you know, it's not like Paul McCartney's going to step in and start doing music. Cause I even saw things like people saying that, like, oh, well, Paul McCartney's stepping in now. It's like, no, that's not happening.
Oh God.
It's not what
that
it
would
is.
Be kind of cool though, but no.
Yeah. Little Sergeant Pepper's kicking in as you lie down on Mars. Yeah. So
interesting.
But yeah, cause I haven't followed much of the Destiny Bungie side of stuff. We have a lot of stuff going on with Halo.
I'm as sure. It is.
Mm-hmm. Big stuff coming up with E3.
Yep.
It's gonna be big, yeah.
But yeah, it's so do you think Salvatore would take over the position, or do you think someone else in Bungie would actually kind of step up to that role?
I don't know. I said to Derek because
or do you think that it would kind of be a split thing? Because you can almost separate out the soundtrack side versus the composer side from the audio director side. So that may be something they'd look into doing as well too.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't think there's really a lot of heavy groundwork that's needed to be made at this point. So I don't think that's something that they're going to be, Bungie is rushing to do to replace a heavyweight like Marty. I don't think they're really looking to do that at this point. I think they're really looking to go on to the next level. Yeah, finish the game and then focus on updates that's going to be needed with the beta and all that. As far as new sound elements, I think all of that has already been in place to the point where those who worked under Marty can definitely, you know, hands on that and make sure that, you know, keeps the scope of the experience with the music well balanced for all the users. So I don't see them out, you know, we got to get somebody to replace. Now, 2 years ago, if this would have happened, absolutely, but not today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did know from one of the Bungie Weekly updates, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Deej said that he went to go through one of the strikes, which are like kind of the small missions in the game. And it was the moon strike that you saw. If you guys have seen that trailer out there of them fighting the Fogoth and the Hive down on the moon, that the music had been added, and it kind of struck him. So the music was added in a couple weeks ago to the actual build, at least that they were using at that point. Now, just because the music's recorded and in there doesn't mean that the job's done. I mean, they need to go and make sure that it's not glitching, that it's hitting at the right moment. So, you know, of course, that was 2 weeks ago. I'm sure there's a lot of work to be done because they're probably working on they are working on the beta build. We know that, but they should hopefully be wrapping up on that soon. But yeah, somebody has to step in and do that. I mean, you know, and even once that's done, then you got to look at just the full game. So sure, some of it may be recorded, but you know, I think to me that's kind of the only real troubling thing. And even though we know this music, I mean, Pete Parsons just said it today at Eurogamer that it is going to be Marty's music, the vision for what Marty had for it. It may not completely be there, like when the music hits, when the beats strike, you know, when the crescendo comes up, all those different things may not be exactly what Marty envisioned. So that's one thing that is going to be lost in this, even though, you know, again, some of the things are recorded. It's not the way he saw it. Like in Halo, you know, there are moments when, like I said, you hop in that Warthog on that second mission of Combat Evolved and just those drums kick in. Marty set that up. You know, he recorded that, composed it. And now in Destiny, it's just not going to be the same. It's just in the back of my mind as a Bungie fan. I know that potentially he didn't set that up, you know, and that's kind of disheartening a little bit, I think.
Let me ask you, Mark, and everyone else, with the potential of there being DLC for Destiny, would there need to be new music for that if they go in that direction? Let's say a year from now, there's DLC at the, you know, we look at Destiny as being this very large, massive experience. And you're not going to see like another Destiny in a year. Okay. Would they offer new DLC content that's maybe some new level that has new music added to it? I'm just curious about that. I don't know.
So if they take the Borderlands route, which.
Okay.
Which has been much compared to Destiny already, then yeah, you would have different kind of music depending to fit the mood of whatever other adventures you're going to have.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Okay. Nice.
And whatever so he's already written, he may have already written that though, because some of the DLC ideas, a lot of developers come out with those ideas while they're kind of wrapping up and
before the game launches. Production.
Yeah. So some of those ideas are already maybe laid down on paper and already been composed. Maybe they haven't been like fully recorded yet, but maybe the main tunes and the paper music, the sheet music is there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
One thing I wanted to mention, man, we were just talking about Mike Salvatore, and you know, you asked who's going to step in. Pete Parsons mentioned in the interview that nobody else had been let go to his knowledge. That was Marty saying that in the DBO article, but saying that as far as he knows, nobody else has been let go. But you almost wonder, because Mike and Marty were such good friends, would, you know, you kind of stand up for your friend and just be like that. Well, you know, if you're going to fire him, well, I'm out too, which we saw happen with, look what happened with Infinity Ward, right? When all that went down.
Exactly.
A lot of people left Infinity Ward and went over to the Respawn team. You know, that's just kind of a thing.
Maybe,
but
maybe Marty can go over to Respawn.
Yeah, they need some something to add some thematics. I think Titanfall. Give me some more of that story, Respawn. Come on, man. But yeah, I you know, as far as we know, Mike's not doing that. So you know, I think that really Marty's the only hole right now on the audio side that they need filled, or maybe not even filled. Yeah, maybe somebody's just going to step it up, but.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, especially with future Bungie titles with Destiny and whatever they do after Destiny too.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they already have the framework of the music that they're going to use. So they have somewhat of a theme laid down for the Destiny franchise. But after that, it's going to be a total toss-up for whoever comes in behind Marty and Salvatore.
Yep.
Depending on who that is, it may change the dynamic of the sound that Bungie has forever. And Bungie has been has the very iconic sound of Marty. And with Halo, everyone, at least on Xbox, knows Halo, knows Marty's music. So it's just really interesting to lose an icon within a studio and to know that that's going to be out somewhere else. And we may not hear that kind of style ever again, to be perfectly honest, because he may go in some other direction with his music.
Yeah, and just be completely different. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this could be... Destiny could be the last that we hear of this sci-fi, adventurous style of music, this orchestra piece that just really comes in and supplies a supplement to an experience and not just defines an experience.
Yeah, well, let me ask you guys this. When do you think this story goes away? Or does it go away? Because the story of Marty's departure, because, you know, obviously right now this is the hotness. So we're seeing this all over the place. And I said to you, Derek, yesterday, I said, you know, potentially if I was Bungie, the only thing that I could see that would kind of deflect away from this. And of course, a lot of people will see it coming when it happens. But is the final announcement of the beta dates? You know, that to me, then people get all excited about the beta. We all start talking about that. All us fan sites, podcasts go nuts over that. And we kind of let this slide. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that would be enough, but that's the only thing potentially, I think, because this story, I think, is going to be riding. Because, I mean, the fact that he's playing at video games live at E3 means he's going to be at E3. Like, I don't know if you guys know where the Nokia Center Theater is. It's literally right next door to the LA Convention Center where E3 is happening. So chances are Marty's going to be at E3. I mean, how awkward potentially could that be of Marty walking by the Activision booth, you know, seeing
it's
those
like,
guys?
Hey, guys, you know? Remember me?
Yeah. I mean,
well, you know, again, you know, we have to go back to their professionalism. You know, these guys are professionals. It's not like all of Activision hates Marty O'Donnell or all of Bungie hates Marty. I mean, come on now.
No, I know. I mean, Marty know, even so, admits it in this interview we did with DBO. He says,
it's no love lost. It's just, hey, different understanding. It's okay. You know, we agree to disagree. We stay professionals. We go our opposite ways. But again, Mark, I like I told you yesterday when you brought up that idea, when we start getting more content information about the beta, when we start seeing it, when we start seeing gameplay impressions of it, when we start seeing people playing it via Twitch and all of that, and it's out there and it's a beta, this story dies. Sorry.
I think Marty's die amazing, before then. I think this story has maybe a 2-3 week lifespan before it just kind of it's a thought in the back of everyone's mind. Yeah. Like I think people will just be kind of aware of it at that point, but I don't think people will really be dwelling on the facts of what happened, and it's not as prevalent.
Right. Because it's going to be because that's going to be based on those who are still burdened by the thought of him not being a part of the project, still pushing and fueling it. Once that's going to die down because they'll be too busy playing the beta or seeing new content.
Yeah.
The good over the bad, I guess. Yeah.
I think the only people that are going to really latch on to the story are the people that have been with Bungie a long time and that who Marty has made a huge impact on.
Yep.
Like in the face to face value. Cause I mean, I've met Marty at PAX a few times. I met him at the, PAX Prime party last year.
I was so mad. I could tell Derek yesterday, dude, we went at E3 last year. We were there when we were at the PlayStation event when they, you know, revealed the gameplay and everything for Destiny, and Bungie invited us back to, a private party of them kind of celebrating, showing off the gameplay. And, you know, the one guy that I wanted to meet was Marty. I'm like, I gotta meet Marty. And he wasn't there like right away. And he walked in kind of later on. First thing he did, he just came in, went right to the food table, grabbed a bunch of chicken wings. And I'm like, oh, there's Marty. I go over and the guy's like eating chicken wings covered in sauce. And I'm like, ah, I won't talk to him now. You know, because I wanted to shake his hand. And I'm like, I don't want to shake his hand. He's covered in barbecue sauce or, you know, whatever he's eating. And I didn't get the chance. And he left like right away. And I didn't get a chance to meet him, man. So I'm like, ah, the one chance that I had to meet freaking Marty O'Donnell. I missed out on it. So
just kind of
it was jealous of you, Dustin.
From the chicken.
Yeah.
Damn, the chicken sauce.
So, but yeah, so that's my personal memory of Marty is Marty just covered in chicken wing sauce and not being able to meet him.
I mean, if you get to go to E3 this year, then maybe you'll see him.
We will be at E3 this year.
We will be at E3.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Somebody in the thread said something interesting. Said when the game is being played for the first time, people are going to hear the music and ask, based on the music, who is that? It's amazing. Oh, yeah. He got fired just before it came out.
Oh, that is terrible.
But you know what the sad thing is? It wasn't even just before it came out. It was months before it came out. That's what's even worse, man.
Or just before the beta came out.
Yeah, just before the beta came out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's so bad.
Man.
Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah, you're right. It is a little bit too soon. Yeah, it's not even 48 hours, man. I mean, what are we, 36 hours probably since the announcement? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, so. It just has that much of an impact.
It does, man.
One of those things that you don't think something like this would ever happen in the gaming industry, and bam, it happens.
Yep. What was the analogy I gave you yesterday, Derek? I mean, this is a terrible analogy. I'm just going to bring it up because I'm sure everybody's going to laugh at this. But I'm like, Marty, because Marty, look.
A good analogy.
Of course, he did the audio and everything for the game. But once a game ships, and again, I don't know what happens in these studios. So I know Marty's not just sitting on his butt in his studio once the game has shipped. Of course, the guy's working. But the analogy I brought up to Derek is I was like, you have the royal family in England, right? What's their? They do nothing. They just are there for people to take pictures of. They have nothing to do with the government. But it's not like the government is going to kick the, you know, the royals out of Britain just because they need to be there. They're the face of Britain, exactly. Right? That's what people know. And like Marty, of course, the guy works hard on the music and all that. But like, that's kind of the impact he was. When you would think of Bungie, you would think of Marty. And the idea of him leaving was just never crossed your mind. Like, you never would think of that happening. And like, never. That happened. You know, yeah. So that's, and I know that's a crazy analogy to think of, but like, that's kind of what it's like. It's like, you just couldn't imagine Bungie without him. And now that's the case that it is.
I think one of the things that's sad about this story is if Marty O'Donnell didn't want to be with Bungie, he would have left a long time ago.
That's true, man. Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I've personally been in his shoes, you know, let go from a company where I feel I'm knocking it out the park. I feel I'm doing well, and your service is not needed anymore. That, for a man of his stature, that's humbling. I mean, and it's like, really, you know, I mean, I'm sure he gave it some contemplation. When you look at his tweet alone, he says that he was forced. Well, it wasn't the words were forced out, but he was let go on the 11th, I believe it says. But the post went out, what, the 14th or 15th? So yeah. That says to me that he has given that thing some thought. He was sitting there like, they really let me go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Marty O'Donnell. I mean,
he
like,
probably kept showing up for the days after that. Like,
am I really?
Come in? Like, really? You're really not going to let me, Marty O'Donnell,
and I can't
like,
come in right now. Really,
it's crazy, man.
That's so funny. This office is not mine, seriously, like, really. That's crazy.
Well, it's like, did he take the ivory tower with him?
Yeah, I mean, he better have. I don't know. Oh man.
But so we talked about the future of Bungie a little bit. Well, how about we just talk about the potential of Marty's future, because that's something that's completely separate too, and we've already touched on that a little bit. But he's has the possibility of doing something as big as a motion picture, as small as like maybe a TV show, or doing some other video game. I mean, the possibilities are out there for him. And like you said earlier, Mark, from the interview that they had on DBO, he said that I've never done a feature film, but I've worked on film scores, I've done commercials, I've done video games, and if Spielberg called, I wouldn't say no.
I wouldn't say no. Yeah.
So has potential everywhere. I think video games would be a style that he would kind of cling on to, since he's like has been well established in that genre. But I think it would be just as easy for him to go out and do some kind of Hollywood score, or do something else that would be he'd be able to kind of help build up and really solidify a new presence and a new kind of style that he may want to express.
I mean, as much as I would want him to continue in gaming because of just the impact he's had on me as a gamer and just in the gaming industry, if you look at what he did from writing commercial jingles like the Flintstones theme, he probably challenged himself to work in video games, and look what came out, you know, something just completely fantastic. So for him to then make the jump to film, you know, I think he's probably looking at it, and I would hope that it would be a challenge for him to do that. And if he could do the same thing like he did jumping from Flintstones vitamin jingles to video games, you know, the jump from video games to movies could just be just as epic and just as fantastic. So, you know, I think that's probably why, as much as, you know, we were kind of just joking earlier about him actually working with Spielberg, it may not necessarily be Spielberg, but he's probably saying, I may be ready to do film, you know, dive into that. And, right, why not? You know, I think that the outcome of that could be really, really fantastic. Just based off his past work.
And someone of his caliber, though, I think he would be up to a challenge of going outside of something that he's comfortable with, which is doing sci-fi video games, and looking for another kind of venue to really showcase his talent, to say that, I have done very successful video games, but here's something else I can do that I haven't
like
really
seen. Like a romantic comedy. He could do a romantic comedy.
Oh, my gosh.
A romantic comedy.
On a dating sim.
There you go. Yeah. Cortana Datingson. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Could he set up something almost like a music producer, where he has so many soundtracks that no one's heard, that he's just put into an archive type of a cache, and all of these, let's say, you know, this whole indie movement is happening, and he does something where he allows you for a fee to just dive in and listen to what he has so that you can pull it and add it to your game.
So create like a music catalog.
A music catalog, soundtracks for whatever, just music catalog, like you said, and developers can just pull from it. But smaller developers, because of course, for a AAA game, there's more that goes into the nook and cranny of putting that together.
I mean, Derek, I'm sure he could, but I mean, that to me would just seem like not fulfilling. Hobby. You know what I mean? That's just chasing money. Yeah, like, hey, I know I can write music, so here's all this music, buy it from me. Where Marty seems like the kind of guy that really, you know, if you've ever seen video of him just like directing the orchestra, I mean, he is intense when he's into that. I mean, they did a small, it was an 8 or 9 minute score from Destiny at Video Games Live. Where was that? Like PAX last year or something. And it was broadcast, streamed on the internet. You could probably find video of it. And, you know, he's out there joking with Tommy Tallarico and they're singing the Flintstones theme. And I think he even did Mr. Clean. He even wrote the Mr. Clean jingle, you know, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. And then as soon as they gave him the baton and he's directing the orchestra, I mean, the guy is just in the zone, intense. Mm. And I don't see him sitting there just writing kind of random loops for people to use in video games to sell. You know, that's not.
But think about this for a second. Don't you think someone with his talent, it's obvious he loves what he does. He loves music itself. And as a composer, he would, I would assume, be the type of person that would go into his bat cave, if you will, and just start to just make stuff that's just out of the blue. There needs to be some place to put that. But you're right. Of course, it does seem like it would be paper chasing and he doesn't need it. But it'll be interesting to see what he would do with those unheard pieces of work. Or, like you said, he may just maybe pull from what he's already created and maybe add to it for maybe different projects that he takes on. That may be the case.
Yeah.
Possibly. I would really like to see what other kind of genres of music he can do. Like, I love the sci-fi stuff that he does, and that's mainly because I'm a big Halo fan, and that's what I've grown up with, knowing that kind of music. But you mentioned the whole Mr. Clean thing, the Flintstones jingle. So he's definitely has musical talents outside of just doing a video game soundtrack that's just sci-fi. And it would be cool to really see him explore that area. And because he has a big audience now, to have other people come in, it's like, oh, I haven't seen this side of Marty before. And really be able to have give Marty the ability to explore those other areas and let people really see different kinds of sides to him.
Yeah. I mean, you almost wonder like a Pixar Disney film, you know, kind of go that route. I mean, I know Disney kind of has their internal people that they work with, but a lot of their films are different every time.
Marty. Yeah.
You know, something like that potentially, you know, but again, would they go after somebody who's never actually worked in film? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, just based off his pedigree, I mean, that was one of the, I think, biggest impacts he's made, and not even just the actual songs and the soundtrack itself, but just what Halo Combat Evolved, that whole soundtrack did was it just brought game soundtracks to that next level. You know, if you look back, sure, we had CDs and people, I mean, back in those days on your PC, you would buy audio cards for your PC. Nowadays, you don't even think about your audio, you know, what kind of audio card you have. No, it's just built in, man. You know, it's either going through your HDMI or your optical. Like, you just have that. But back then, you would have to go out and buy your Sound Blaster cards and all that. And it wasn't, none of that was ever really on the console side. So they, not only was it just the soundtrack itself, but just technology wise, we didn't have the capability to have soundtracks that sounded like the Halo soundtrack. And this was really the first one that did that, you know, to have MP3s on a CD that were able to play during the music. And, you know, I think that, if anything, was the biggest impact that he had, because from the release of Halo, then every game thereafter started having just these, you know, more music involved rather than just the bleeps and bloops, you know, that we had up to that point. You know, really, of course, like I said, you know, you had your Final Fantasy games and that had some things on there, but Halo, I think, was really the first one that truly, truly took it to the film level, you know, that brought it up to the big budgets that movie films have. So I don't know.
It would be cool if he actually went around and did a series of concerts.
Could he play the Halo music though? Or not Halo, but even could he play that?
Well, nope.
Direct like orchestras for it. No, why would you say no? Why would you say no, Derek?
Because I would think that the music would be under contract with Microsoft. And but
Video Games Live. It's just you have to get the rights to perform, and there's performance rights. Same reason why what's his name from Creedence Clearwater? I can't think of his name right now, but couldn't go around and play the old Creedence Clearwater songs at his concert. John Fogerty. He couldn't go play those songs because he didn't have the performance rights, even though the guy freaking wrote the songs and was on all the albums.
That's what I'm thinking.
So it would be dependent. Does Bungie give him performance rights?
Not at all.
It depends on what that break was.
I think you mean Microsoft. Yeah. I think
Microsoft for Halo, Microsoft. But then you could say Bungie for Destiny. The Destiny music, right. too, because you got a couple in that music, too.
Microsoft might be more lenient to do it because of the Joseph Staten relationship, I would say, possibly. But Bungie, at the moment, based on rumors, no. He can play that music at his house, the door closed. Not
and just tweet out hey guys, yeah. Hey guys, here's my address. Here's my address. I'm opening my windows and I'm conducting.
You may want to come by for something. You may hear something.
Yeah. And put his little hat down at the end of the driveway and you just throw your money in it. It's fine.
These publishers they're very nitpicky about their intellectual properties. That's all I'm saying. And you know, and if they're not making a profit on it, why bother? So
I don't know. But what else you got, Dustin? Anything else for us here?
I think that pretty much wraps up like all the big topics that we can really cover. I mean, we talked about the kind of the past, what kind of influence he's had on Bungie and Halo fans alike, and kind of the future of both Bungie and what he could possibly do. And unless you guys have something else to bring up.
No, you know, like I said, I think just being a longtime Bungie fan, you know, it is sad. You know, he's one of those faces that,
it's one of those faces,
man, that, you know, always was there. And like I said, I mean, to prove that he's one of those faces, at the Sony announcement of the PS4, he was one of those guys they brought out on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, him not being there anymore, it's tough, but
it is.
And he was always in the Vidox.
Everyone. Yeah. Always. Yep, things are changing, man, over at Bungie, and you know, for better or for worse, you know, we're not going to know really until Destiny comes out, and obviously it starts moving forward. Yeah. But, you know, we're all still obviously excited for Destiny. I mean, you
absolutely,
know, I can't wait to play the game. You know, knowing it was great to hear Parsons say today his music will be in the game. So, anybody that was concerned about his music not being there, it is going to be in the game. Of course, I mean, the guy's been writing music for years for Destiny. Mm-hmm. So of course they're going to use it and put it in the game. It's not like now 5 months before launch, they're suddenly going to go out and create a whole new score for the game. I mean, that's not happening. So that it'll be in there again, though, the vision of it, the placement of it, all of that, the fact that he was the audio director, those things may be different than what we would have gotten with Marty's vision, but you know, it'll still be interesting to see
how it finally kind of falls into play with Destiny, how well that music jives, because there still is the fact that he didn't have the kind of one-on-one interaction with gameplay and knowing how things are going to flow exactly to really compose his music. So there's already a difference with how the Destiny music is going to be. Granted, it's still going to be Marty's music. Yeah. It's still going to be epic. But the way that the music interacts with the game, I'm really interested to see how that's going to play out in Destiny once it finally comes out.
Yep. Well, you know, when it goes back to, like I said, like Jeremy Soule with the Elder Scrolls, I mean, that music is great, but because that's somewhat of an open sandbox, like Skyrim, you know, I mean, you go into Skyrim, anything could be happening on screen. I mean, you could be fighting a dragon with, you know, a troll chasing you on fire and music is hitting where when Marty wrote music in the past, you know, Marty's music, it was somewhat scripted. Sure, the AI kind of had its own routines and it was very, very smart AI. I mean, that's the best part of Bungie games is the AI is super intelligent and it's fun to battle those. But still, there are those scripted moments and that's when his music really shined the most. But the way Destiny is, it's kind of the sandbox world with the matchmaking in the background and you're just kind of encountering people at different times and there's these public events. So the scripting is a little bit looser with Destiny than it was with Halo. And yeah, so you're right, Dustin. You know, it, just regardless of him being there or not, the way the music is implemented in the game is different than it was from Halo. So
well,
I think that music
is going to have a lot more drastic effect in the moments in Destiny when you are being told the story and you're kind of in a more controlled environment.
Yeah,
because Halo is pretty much a rail shooter. You're given the path that you go down, and the music really helps because it, you know, the music knows what's the game control knows what's coming. It knows how to fit the music to the mood that's going on in the game, and it knows when to bring certain parts in and when to bring certain parts out, and it really adds to that experience. And with Destiny, it's going to be, it's not going to be as fluid. It's going to be a lot more rigid in terms of how people interact with certain things. But I think where Marty's music will shine in Destiny is when you are going through those situations like after you have a strike or as you are going through certain parts of fallen cities where you have kind of more of a story element being explained as you're kind of going along. I think that's when Marty's music is really going to shine for Destiny.
Oh,
I hope, I hope it does. I hope it has a similar feeling to what we experienced with Halo. And I didn't play Oni or Myth. I don't know if you guys did or not.
And can I play a little bit of Oni, but I've never played Myth. No,
so Oni, yes.
Can't speak about Oni.
I played Oni.
I mean, Siege of Madrigal was the Easter egg in Halo, so.
Yep. I wish, that's why I was wishing Craig was going to be here. Craig is our, one of our co-hosts, and he actually completely redid the Marathon soundtrack.
Genius.
And genius. Bungie had tweeted it out and things like that. I mean, the guy's he's awesome at music, and you can find it out there. We can put up a
that
link to
ridiculous.
His.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, totally redid it. And actually, the mobile app, the mobile version of the game, he was in talks with whoever published that or put it out, the iOS version of that, to import his remastering of the soundtrack into the game. I want to say there's even some sort of mod out there where you can do that. And it's all Craig's versions of the Marathon soundtrack in there. Yeah, it's crazy. So I was hoping he would be on because he's really just, indebted to the music.
My God.
But unfortunately, Craig just couldn't be here because, he's a real live spaceman, as Bungie has called him in the past before. He works on the Mars Curiosity rover. So he's doing things in space right now.
He's a real space marine.
Yeah. Yes. Well, hey, Bungie, I wanted their, was it the last? No, the second to last Destiny podcast. They were talking about him that he had come out to the studio because, he was doing work with NASA JPL and talked to them about Mars. And they made some comment about tectonic plates on the moon, and this has kind of become this running joke on our show where there are no tectonic plates on the moon at all. But they said that their good friend Craig Hargrove would probably correct them, and sure enough, on our episode that next week he did, and they called him a real live spaceman. So it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And it's. I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah, man.
It's a sad day for Bungie. Sad day for all the fans, but. Good stuff, I think, will come out of it. I don't think it's something to be overly worried or upset about. It is something that's unfortunate, but Halo and Bungie fans alike, I mean, we'll press on. This is just another hiccup in the life cycle of the gaming industry. I think it's touched everyone in different ways that has had some interactions with the Xbox franchise or with Bungie in the past. So, and sad to see him go, but all we can do is just support Bungie and Marty in the ways that we can.
Yep.
So, and I hope this podcast does him justice as well as Bungie.
Yep. So, again, thank you everybody that tuned in here. This was a good, I think we had some good discussion here. We're clocking in at what? We've been doing this now for almost
an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. And you can obviously tell just how passionate we are about Marty's music and, just like you said earlier, Dustin, I mean, just to see Twitter just explode at this announcement, it just shows how much people loved Marty's music and the way that he's impacted, their gaming lives, if not even their lives. I mean, we had somebody even post over on our forum saying that, the fact just his music made him just kind of start his own little musical career and then start reaching out, looking for new music, more obscure music. And it totally just gave him more this wealth of music in his life that he probably wouldn't have had he, never listened to Marty's music. So
I think Link could probably say the same thing here too.
I'm sure.
How much of an impact that he's had. You still here, Link?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Like I said before, his music has just, I've just been surrounded by it so much that it's almost hard to sort of pick and choose and say that that's what influenced me, that one part or that other part. It's just all so, ingrained in us, I think, at this point, that it's hard to imagine a Bungie game without his music, or even a couple of years ago like a Halo game without his music. So I think that just speaks all the more to his creative genius.
Yep.
Yeah, and at some point Marty has been influential in all of our lives, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Brent mentioned the time that he had through high school, how the music kind of helped him get through stuff. And I have my moments of going to sleep with the ODST music.
Yeah, but like I said, man, I busted out the Halo 2 soundtrack the other day. And anybody that saw the picture I put up on Twitter, the case is cracked And, you know, it's covered in, I don't know what it's covered in, because it was probably in my car, you know, baking in the sun and all that. But I mean, I would listen to it all the time, you know, going to take an exam at school and things like that. Just
it has character to it.
Yeah, the music, it's just fantastic. So, you know, and again, I don't want to, I kind of earlier, one of the first things we said was like, oh, Marty, it's Marty's not gone. Marty is still Marty. You know, he's going to continue to do whatever he's going to do. You know, I think that's he's one of the gone. Things I don't want. You know, this to come off as this big thing like, oh, Marty's gone forever. No, he's not. You know, I'm actually it's sad to see him leave Bungie, but it is definitely exciting to see what he's going to do next. You know, like said, how he jumped from those jingles to video games. I really almost hope he doesn't go into video games, because I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. And, you know, what soundtrack am I going to be buying next for what medium to listen to whatever he's creating next, because I'm following him wherever he's going. You know, whatever he's doing, I'm going to be there, and a lot of us are going to be there to just still support him and enjoy whatever it is that he creates. So
I'll say this if Marty stays in the game industry, he will stay relevant to the gaming industry. If he doesn't, a lot of us that revere him, we will continue to love him for what he's done, but out of sight and out of mind. So I'm sorry. If Marty goes and does things with movies, that's wonderful for him and his family, and he needs to follow his heart. Absolutely, 100%. However, you know how the industry is. You know, two games later, you're forgotten. I don't care what you've done. Okay, so if he wants to be remain relevant in the game industry, he needs to stay in the game industry and dabble with other projects that are outside the game industry. Because let Destiny drop and it's spectacular, and other games that are coming out. I mean, he's influenced a generation. There are people that are doing soundtracks on games today that feel the same way we do, and they took it a step further, and they are actually not on his level, but they're actually, you know, in the industry, and they're invoking emotions through their music and soundtracks with games that they're blessed to be working on. So I believe he needs to stay in the game industry if he wants to be relevant to our industry. If he leaves and comes back, oh, great, Marty's back. But how many influences will we have had, or experiences, excuse me, will we have had that have just captivated us? He comes back. Oh, okay, Marty's back. Great.
Yeah, and, but dude, you know, I think we say in terms of our industry, but I mean, just look at his track record. I mean, he, like I said, he created the Flintstones jingle. Almost 90% of America probably knows that jingle. You know, the Mr. Clean jingle, everybody knows that jingle. The Halo theme, you know, the guitar riff, everybody knows that.
True.
I think he could do it again. You know, lightning doesn't always strike twice. Well, for some reason, it struck at least three times for Marty, if not more. And I don't see why it's not. Yeah, he's Zeus. He's launching lightning bolts all over the place. I mean, he's going to be launching... Yeah, it's crazy, true, man. So if he goes to movies, it would not surprise me at all if, you know,
that's true.
Marty's winning a freaking Oscar in 2017 because of, you know, whatever movie it is he wrote the score for. And it's just this epic song that everybody knows. And it becomes, you know, huge because he's done it before. And chances are he could probably do it again. So
definitely. Yeah. Cool.
So everyone listening, thank you for tuning into this dual cast. Big shout outs to Podtacular and Guardian Radio. You can find us both on the podcast network. That's thepodcast.com. Head on over there and find our shows along with shows like Critscast, which is the TF2 podcast, Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast, How to Murder Time, and Work in Progress. You can find all those podcasts over on the podcast network. And make sure you just check out each other's sites. For all of those that are coming over from Guardian Radio, you can check out podtacular.com for all the Halo stuff. And then for all of our Podtacular listeners, you can head on over to theguardiansofdestiny.com to find out more about Guardian Radio and their community for Destiny as well.
Yeah, we're going through right now the big lead up, obviously, to launch here on September 9th. So, you know, every week... just more and more excitement as more stuff is starting to trickle out. And like I said, this past week, the big sites were out in Seattle doing a lot of previews, and we've seen just kind of obscure tweets coming out and all that. So hopefully within the next week or so, we're going to get some big previews launching. So definitely Guardian Radio in the coming weeks is going to start getting a little bit more exciting, I think, because we're finally going to have some meat to start diving into again. So we're definitely looking forward to that.
So, yeah, in about 2 months or so, for E3, we'll have a lot of meat to talk about the next Halo experience, whatever that comes out to be. Yep. And we're really looking forward to that. I hope I can make it to E3. I got to talk to some people and see if I can sneak in somehow. Come on,
got to get there, Dustin. Got to get you there, man.
I want to. I don't have the credentials that you guys do. Maybe you guys can get me in there.
Yeah, I'll just sneak you in. It's fine. It's not like they're guarding it with like ultraviolet lights, which they
never know.
Every single yard.
Space lasers. I don't know.
People are crazy, man. They stop you. Like every morning at E3, it's just mad rush. And I'm sure PAX is kind of the same way, but E3, man, I mean, they are like serious. It's like you are not walking past this line until I'm looking at your badge and shining it with this little laser beam. It's crazy. So they won't let you. But you know what's cool about E3 too, though, is everybody's kind of in the area. And like I said, I mean, Marty, he's doing video games live on June 11th. So if anything, you know, you can go to that. That's not in the convention center. LA Live is this whole kind of central hub in downtown LA, and everything is happening right there. There's always even stuff happening outside the convention center. So if you live in the LA area, you know, if anything, just get down there during those days because you're definitely going to find something. And, you know, it's funny, too. Every time you leave E3, there's always people asking to buy your badge. Like when you're walking out, like, hey, man, I'll give you $500 for your badge. You're like, not really going to do that. Even though that's somewhat tempting, it's like, no. Because what if they go in, you know, and they find out it's not you? Of course, you're not going to do that.
You can't go in no more. No.
Yeah. $500 for a badge.
I'll sell
Holy
it to
crap.
You, Dustin, for $500. I'll sell it to you. No, I'm just kidding.
But that's a little high of a price to pay.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But so hopefully you can make it out there, man, if anything.
I definitely want to. If by any means I can get a pass and get out there, I am definitely there. Because it's going to be huge for Halo, and I'm sure it's going to be huge for Destiny as well.
It's going to be huge for Destiny. I mean, pretty much we're expecting that, you know, hopefully in the coming weeks here we'll get the beta dates. And that just my assumption and just kind of, you know, knowing the way the industry always is, I'm guessing the beta for Destiny will be at E3. Get people hyped for it. You're going to see all the, you know, game playthroughs on GameSpot and all the channels that are going to be out there. And then maybe a month or so later, that's when the beta is going to drop. I mean, the timing of it would be perfect for Bungie Day, right? 7/7 would be perfect, but that's almost too obvious for them to do that. But, you know, maybe it's kind of, and I hate to use this pun, but maybe it's destiny or destined to have the beta come out on Bungie Day, right? That would be perfect. So we got to wait and see.
The beta will be available at E3. We'll be playing it at E3. Yeah. Dustin, you got to get there, buddy. Hands on, baby. Have to do it.
I love everybody over in the chat. If there's a way I can get there, I will definitely get there.
Awesome.
In the chat, everybody's been calling this the Guardian Tacular.
Yeah.
I like that. Guardian Tacular.
Guard Tacular.
There you go. Guard Tacular.
Yeah. Yes, perfect. That's cool.
But yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in, man. We appreciate everybody being here live. And of course, anybody that downloaded it, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll be doing a couple more of these in the future. Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So if you guys want to reach out to us, if you guys want to talk about anything that we've talked about, you can definitely hit us up. You can reach the Guardian Radio folks at feedback@theguardians.destiny.com. And you can reach us here at Podtacular at submissions@podtacular.com. So definitely do that. If you guys maybe are listening to this after we're doing the live stream, have your voices and opinions be heard. We would definitely like to hear from you guys and hear what your thoughts are on this whole Marty thing. So this has been episode 418 of Podtacular and episode 58 of Guardian Radio. On behalf of Guardian Radio and Podtacular, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you guys next time.
Later.
Later.
Adios.
I was going...
We just scared away every potential new listener.
This is not the end of the podcast.
Yes, this is the end of the podcast. Oh, that's my awesome. Gosh.